is so fun to be at this church again and to see what Jesus is doing. You know, I don't know if you realize this, but you don't live in a big town. I mean, I come from like a pretty good sized town, and you have a mega church in this town. It is unbelievable. 25% of the city of Kamiai is here this morning. 25%. I've not heard of a church that has reached 25% of their city except this one. This is the only church that I've ever been to that has reached 25% of their city. That's awesome. I hope you're feeling pretty good about yourselves. You should be pretty thrilled about what Jesus is doing. And I want to tell you why. Because there's something real going on here. Because Jesus is changing lives. Jesus is bringing life and hope and goodness. And I've come to preach the good, glad, merry news to you today. I've come to preach to you and tell you that He loves you with an everlasting love. And it's a love that doesn't shift and it doesn't fade, but it endures forever and ever and ever. He loves you. He delights in you. He rejoices over you with singing. He loves you. And His name means Savior, and He loves to save you. It is His plan. It is His purpose to save you. He is not a reluctant Savior. Do you hear that? He's not a God who says, "You mean I have to save you again? I'm getting really tired of this." No, that's not what He's saying. He's saying, "Save you? Right on. That's what I do. I love to save. I came to seek and to save that which was lost." And you know, I've been lost several times since I got saved. Isn't that right? Any of you ever wandered off the path? Any of you ever done some stupid stuff? Any of you ever sinned and needed Jesus to heal you and forgive you and cleanse you and wash your feet and make everything new? That's what He does. He doesn't quit doing it. He does not quit doing that. He loves to save you. I think of the story of John Swearengen, and I tell this story all over the nation. John walked into the woods one day. He had been buried in depression. The fangs of that evil snake had gotten into his neck, and he was a dying man in his soul and his spirit and his heart and his mind. And he decided it was time to finish the task, and he walked into the woods. This story, by the way, is in this amazing book. I read this book. It blew my mind when I read this book. And he walked into the woods with his .357 Magnum. He sat down on a stump and he took the cold steel of that revolver and pressed it against his head. He pulled the trigger. The hammer came back and slammed forward onto the cartridge. And nothing happened. Click. He pulled the hammer again. Click. Six times he pulled that trigger and six times that gun went click. He looked at the gun. He thought, "I thought this gun worked pretty good." And he pointed it down at the ground and pulled the trigger. Kaboom! The gun went off. And he fell down on his knees and started weeping, knowing that God Almighty had a plan for his life to transform him and to save him and to heal him and to make everything new. Precious young woman in this church was buried in addiction to drugs. She could not get out. She was sinking. She was not swimming. And Jesus Christ came and transformed her life, and He made everything new. Can I tell you why this church is prospering? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus is doing a fantastic job. The devil is mean, and he hates people. He's seeking to destroy. Jesus came to seek and to save. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. Isn't that right? And that's what this young woman was experiencing. But Jesus came and brought healing. This precious girl, I'm sorry, spacing on your name, honey. Kristen, right. It's Kelsey, though. Okay, right. Kelsey, I was there when her first husband passed away in a drowning accident. I was actually speaking at that camp. And she came into some dark, dark times. But Jesus comes, and in the middle of mayhem and death and destruction, Jesus came and started making everything new. And now she's got a fantastic husband who's healthy and alive and doing well and beautiful children. And Jesus has brought her out of the ashes into one of the most joyful, beautiful places ever. You guys, do you understand how relevant what we're talking about is? But there's people all over that still don't know. You know, I think it's cool when healthy churches seek to plant churches. I think that's awesome. And you guys are a healthy church. And you want to know what? Lewiston, Idaho needs a church like this. And Nate and his wife have gone into that city, and they have, Nate and Kristen have gone into Lewiston, and Jesus is doing something through them that is quite awesome. But here's what I've found. People drive by this building on this highway, and they don't have a clue what's going on in here. Isn't that right? Let alone in Lewiston. This is a new church. But Jesus is wanting to bring some life to these people. Why are we doing this? Why are we reaching out in Lewiston? Because Jesus wants to take people that are buried in sorrow, buried in depression, buried in addiction, and he wants to bring them out of their death and their grave and their pain and their agony, and he wants to give them life, and that more abundantly. I made a silly mistake yesterday. I flew into Spokane instead of Lewiston. Actually, you know what? It never was on. It was muted the whole time. So, sorry about that. Is it better now? Okay. So I flew into Spokane, just a silly accident. And so I getting off the airplane, texting Pastor Kelly. Hey, Pastor Kelly, heading towards luggage here in Spokane now. All of a sudden, I get this phone call. Oh, Kelly's calling me. Hey, man, can't wait to see you, buddy. And I'm walking towards luggage. He goes, yeah, well, Darren, actually, you were supposed to fly to Lewiston. And I'm in Lewiston, and you're in Spokane. So I thought to myself, road trip. So I went out and rented a car and hopped in the car and started driving down the highway. And as I'm driving down the highway, I got to tell you something. I was just having a beautiful time as I'm driving through the Palouse, and I'm just praying, and I'm loving Jesus. And I got this stupid grin that comes on my face. It's just joy. Can I just tell you something? I can't tell you how happy I am. I'm just straight up happy. I love Jesus, and Jesus is pouring his love into me, and we have something to give. There are people in this city, and there are people in Lewiston who are not happy. Sometimes so unhappy that they too are contemplating putting a 357 to their head. Jesus wants to bring life to them. I want to share with you something. My company, Good Catch Publishing, we wrote and published this book for Life Church here. And yeah, what an honor. Yeah, it is. It is. It is an incredible book. I remember sitting and reading this thing and just thinking to myself, my goodness, this is a fascinating, powerful. I wept when I read this book. It just blew me away. And what we have here is a super stealthy, powerful method of reaching people who would never, ever walk into a church. And I want to show you a couple of videos of people who read this book, people who had either already written off church or had never been to church and were pretty sure they would never go. And so I want to play a video for you right now. Meet Emily. Okay, so I am here at Anthem Church in Portland, Oregon, and I just met this young lady, and I don't even know your name.
I'm Emily.
This is Emily, and Emily just told me something fantastic, and she told me that she had read one of her books. So what book did you read?
I read Beautifully Wrecked.
Did you know that book was written for a church in San Diego?
I did not.
Interesting. So tell me about that. How did you get it?
I started spending time with a friend who introduced me to Advocare, and she wanted to bring Jesus into my life, and I completely rejected, and respectfully, of course. And she said that her daughter had been reading a book and was saying how awesome the book was and how amazing these people, how their lives were just so beautifully wrecked, and how they came to know Jesus and how their lives were drastically changed. And I read one testimony and put it away for a couple of weeks, and then one night I decided to open the book back up, and I read the entire rest of the book that night, and I couldn't get enough of it. And those stories, the testimonies, inspired me that after having such a wrecked life, that my life could become beautiful with the love of Jesus. I was baptized on January 13th, and I am so happy to say that I have 6 months clean and sober, and my life is truly amazing. I can't get enough of Jesus. I'm so excited that I can come from just a horrible, wrecked life into something so beautiful and accepting and non-judgmental, and just come to know the love that Jesus has for everybody. People who are going through troubles and don't believe, that you can inspire them to believe that Jesus loves each and every one of us, that we're all beautiful in our own way, that we're all special, that
Amen.
It's for everybody. And I love that.
Emily was a very broken girl, never was a church attender, and you heard her say that she respectfully rejected this offer to be involved with Christianity in church. But she got a hold of a book, and in the privacy of her home, in her own quiet place, she got into that book, and Jesus moved into her heart and transformed and saved her, delivered her from her addiction. She was involved in some really messed up stuff that I won't even say in church. It was just really sad, terrible stuff. And she has been made new. What I'm going to share with you this morning is not theoretical. It's, when I share with you, I'm not saying, I hope this works. No, it works. It's not my. It's not a theory. It's an experience. Okay, this is something that we are doing all over the nation, and Jesus is using this to save thousands and thousands and thousands of people. People are getting saved reading these books right this very second all over the country. This is very real. It's not theoretical. This is experiential. We have done this, and we want to do it with you guys. Let me share with you another story.
Well, our son got involved with drugs and alcohol and has become addicted to all kinds of things. And we've actually been sharing with our banker about what's been going on, as we've shared with life stories of what's going on.
Yeah.
They brought over a book for us to read, Hidden in the Shadows. And in less than 48 hours, four people have read the book. And
Jesus.
And our son, who has been raised in church, lost hope, lost everything, and read the book and said it's the first time in a long time that he had hope for his future. It's awesome.
Amen. And so what's he planning on doing?
He starts Dream Center on the 8th.
Wow.
And came home excited, and after my father for the last year has said that he's had visions of Austin preaching to other people who had no hope, it could actually happen. I could see it. And I do believe it.
You know, it's a tough thing when your kids struggling in addiction and you just can't get them out. And this is why we do it. This is why. Because it's not okay for people to go to hell. It's not okay for people to live in hell. It's not okay for people to be buried in pain and sorrow and addiction and dysfunction. Jesus has come to give them life. We've got it. We've got the answer. We've got the tools to do it. And we can lead many, many people to Jesus. This is a happy task that we have. And I'll tell you what, you guys, I am convinced Jesus is about to do some amazing things. And I think we could duplicate this church in Lewiston, Idaho, inside of a year if we got serious about it. And I want to share with you a specific strategy on how to do this. But before I do, let's get into the Word of God. The Scripture says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. What's a kingdom? A kingdom is not a king. A king and a kingdom are two different things, right? A kingdom is the place where the king rules. It's made up of two words, king's dominion. It's the place where the king rules. Where does Jesus want to rule? Luke says, don't say that the kingdom of God is here or that the kingdom of God is there, for the kingdom of God is within you. Where does Jesus want to rule? He wants to rule in the hearts of people. When I was growing up, I thought this scripture was talking about that the kingdom of heaven was Jesus, and that Jesus was out buried in a field, and I needed to sell everything I had to get Jesus. But that's not what it's saying at all. It's saying that we are the treasure that is buried in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had, and he bought that field. Now let me ask you this question. How did a treasure end up in the field? Most people don't just throw gold out into fields, right? The reason it was thrown away was because it wasn't even recognized as a treasure. It was viewed as trash. John Swearingen viewed himself as trash, and he had taken a gun, and he was about to throw himself on a trash heap. This young woman who was addicted to drugs, this young woman, she viewed herself as trash. People in her family and her life had completely rejected her, and she had been thrown on the trash heap of life. But you know, I love that old saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Isn't that right? And the scripture says, for the joy set before him, that's what it says in Hebrews, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising its shame. He went to that cross and he said, I love you. I love you, precious person. You guy, you're struggling with porn. I love you. I don't reject you. I don't hate you. I love you. And I want to save you and heal you and restore you and make everything new. You who have been wounded, you who have been abused, I love you. And I want to heal you and make everything new. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he sold all he had. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us. Now, how long did Jesus not know sin? Forever past, right? And then one day, that changed. One day, that changed. And he who knew no sin became sin for us. Now, how long will Jesus know sin? Forever. Forever future. He gave it all. And he bought that field because he wants the treasures. And now Jesus is going back through the field and he's saying, oh, no, you're not trash. I treasure you and I want to heal you and I want to make everything new. He's finding the heroin addict. He's finding the young woman struggling with meth addiction. He's finding these people bound up in the stuff that produces death. Can I just tell you something? Do you understand that sin doesn't work any better than it ever has? It doesn't work any better than it ever has. It makes you just as miserable as it always had. It didn't like change. But Jesus heals just as well as he ever has. And that's what we want to bring to Lewiston, okay? So there are many more people hidden in the field of Lewiston, and we have a power base here in Kamei, and you have largely saturated this city. Now it's time to go and take on another city. Right on? So let's take a look at this. Let me explain to you. Now, the why is that people are going to hell. Now, let's take a look at the what. The what is the testimony of the saints. The scripture says in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, now have come salvation, power, the authority of God, and the kingdom of his Christ. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think Lewiston could use some salvation? Power of God? Authority of Christ? Kingdom of God? If you had those four things happening in Lewiston, do you think you might be tempted to call that a revival? Those four things happen when the accuser of the brethren who accuses us before our God day and night gets hurled down. How many of you understand how powerful and how often the enemy is accusing the saints? He's accusing people. And the number one reason people do not go to church is because of accusation. If I were to walk into that church, the roof would fall in. Any of you ever heard that phrase before? It's a cliche, actually. It's so common that it's a cliche. That's how common accusation is. But what defeats accusation? It says this, they overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We have a testimony book right here. Seven amazing, powerful testimonies. Not generic testimonies. Not from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or Chicago, Illinois, or Los Angeles. From right here on the Clearwater. This is a relevant message. This is the most relevant message that this church can take to Lewiston. We've seen him change our lives here, and we want to see Jesus change your life here in Lewiston, and we're reaching out to you right now. So let me talk to you a little bit more about this. So we got a testimony, but let's talk about how strategic this is. Every single thing about this book is intentional. This book is this thick for a reason. It's thick enough to be legitimate. It's thin enough to be unintimidating. It has seven stories. The Bible says, out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. But this number seven is the number of completion. See, we don't want to just establish the truth. We want to bring overwhelming proof. And when you have seven testimonies, it becomes rationally undeniable. The message becomes undeniable. You can no longer rationally deny it when seven people testify. The ISBN number on the back is real. In fact, I actually got that picture. I couldn't find the graphic for your cover. I got that off of Amazon.com. Your book's for sale on Amazon.com for a lot more than I ever sold it to anybody. The $14.95 price tag on the back is not real. Nobody pays that. However, it is worth that, and I've actually sold this book for $14.95 many times as I travel around in my meetings. So what happens is a person gets this book, and what we're going to do is we're going to be direct mailing these books out into the city. And they get this book in the mail. I don't know about you, but I feel lucky when I get detergent in the mail, right? How often do you get a $15 book for free in the mail, right? All of a sudden you go, holy cow, this is kind of cool. It's got the super edgy cover. This guy's drowning in the Clearwater River. Pretty relevant stuff. And he's going, oh my goodness, I gotta read this. The back cover text is edgy, it's intriguing, it makes you want to read it, and the book gets read. I remember Carrie telling the story of one day a lady called the church and she started crying on the phone, and the lady says, I am tired of sinking, I want to swim. That happened here at this church. Somebody told me the story about John Swearengen. A lady came into the church, and she goes, where is John Swearengen? They found him and brought John to her, and she threw her arms around his neck, and she said, you saved my life. That happened here at this church. This is your book I'm talking about. These are your stories. This is what Jesus is wanting to do with your book, is save people's lives. The story order is super important. The first story is designed for the God-hater. You only get one chance at the God-hater. That's what the first story is designed for. Every book has a salvation message so that people can get saved in the convenience of their own bed. You guys, do you understand how different it is when you're reading a book because you wanted to, not because your Aunt Mabel said, dear, you need to read this book from my church. I don't know about you, but I don't want to read that book. As soon as Aunt Mabel said it, I didn't want to read it. But when you just got this free gift in the mail, how cool is that? Yeah, I think I'm going to read it. Now, let's take a look at what the techniques that we can use. Okay, now I am an evangelist, okay? The Bible talks in Ephesians 4:11 about these gifts to the church. And one of the gifts is apostle, another one's prophet, another one's evangelist, and pastors and teachers, okay? And God gave these gifts to the church to equip the church to do the work of the ministry of, in my case, evangelism. So an evangelist is going to help people learn how to do evangelism, okay? Now, I am fascinated by woodworking. And one of the things that you need when you're woodworking is you need tools. Fingernails are of limited value. So you need tools. And then you need techniques. How many of you understand that you can have all the tools in the world, if you don't know how to use them, you're not going to be very effective? Or you can have all the techniques in the world, but if you don't have any tools, you're not going to get much built. You have to have tools and you have to have techniques. If you have the tools and the technique, then you are equipped. My job is to equip you to share the gospel and to take the city of Lewiston. And I want to tell you something. We literally could reach the entire city of Lewiston in 24 months. This church could do it. I'm not talking about the numbers that I was telling you earlier. We could actually hit the whole city if we chose to. So the average church of 200, this is an aggressive church, by the way, which you guys are, probably does about 100 hours of evangelism per month. That's assuming that everybody has 30 minutes of spiritual conversation with a non-church attending person. If everybody in here had 30 minutes of conversation, you might hit 100 hours, okay? That's optimistic. Most churches don't actually do that, okay? So each book gets read on average three times in the first year. This book takes about 5 hours to read, and it gets read three times. Now, you heard Emily. What did she say? Her friend read it. Her friend gave it to her daughter. Her daughter read it. Her daughter gave it to Emily. Emily read it, and then Emily gave it away. Isn't that right? In the story of the son, the man said four people read the book in the first 48 hours. These books get read on average three times in the first year. There's a number of reasons for that. Edgy cover, not religious, short story format, and intense back cover text. The locality, stories from the Clearwater, that's what is a super big deal too. So you open up USA Today newspaper, national newspaper, right? You turn to letters to the editor. And when you look on that page, you see a letter from Alabama, you see a letter from Dallas, Texas, and you see a letter from Kamiai, Idaho. Which one are you going to read first? Of course, because local has seriously strong appeal. The other reason why these books get read, any of you ever heard of the television show 48 Hours? You know, stories about these criminal events that occurred, right? How many of you know that those shows are pretty much always depressing? There's no hope. At the end of the show, the very best case scenario is the guy who goes to prison for life. Maybe he gets executed. That's like awesome, right? That's like the big win. Okay, right? That's like totally depressing, right? That show has been on television for 35 years. Do you know what this book is? It's 48 hours, only with massive hope and inspiration. This stuff gets read. So one book equals 15 hours. If we were to sponsor 200 books a month, say you're sitting here and you say, you know what, I want to go for it. I want to sponsor 10 books a month. And your friend says, you know what, I'm going to sponsor 5 books a month. And if we all together got together and everybody did a little bit, if everybody did a little bit, it would be pretty easy for a group this size to sponsor 200 books a month, right? This guy over here sponsors 5, this lady over here sponsors 10, this guy over here sponsors 3, this person over here sponsors 1, this person over here sponsors 25, whatever. But we all get together, we go for it. You know what? We could sponsor 200 books a month. Do you realize that 200 books times 15 equals 3,000 hours per month? We went from 100 to 3,000 hours a month. That's a 30-fold increase. That's if we only did 200 books a month. I think you guys could actually do 400 books per month. Now, the average person in America works 2,000 hours a year. So you take that number, 3,000, and divide it by 2,000, and you got 18 months. That's 18 months of full-time evangelism every single month. You say, well, how do you do 18 months in 1 month? Because we got lots of books going out there. They're working at the same time. Now, say you said, I want to do this with human beings. Let's do this. Let's just go old school and let's do it with human beings and forget the books. You would have to hire 18 full-time personal evangelists who got up in the morning, went to work at 8, engaged somebody immediately, never got distracted, never missed a word, always got their theology perfect, never ever was stood up by the person they were trying to talk to. And they'd have to do that 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year to do. 18 people would have to do that to do what 200 books a month would do. Do you see what we've got here? We've got a tool and we've got a technique. Now, here's what we did originally. We'd ship these books here to the church, and you guys take them, and you give them out to your friends, right? Now, half of those friends probably were Christians, which is kind of sad, but hey, we like Christians too, and I'm sure they were inspired by your stories. But we weren't really reaching lost people in that particular moment, right? So we want to reach some lost people, like people that are actually going to hell. So what we found was that once a person gave out 10 to 20 books, they were kind of done. It's just like, couldn't really think of anybody else to give. So what if we could go beyond your sphere of influence? Yes, we can. And here's how we do it. We do it with direct mail. I've already given a little bit of this away. But what we do then is we direct mail these books to individual addresses. So we buy every address in the city of Lewiston, okay? And then the first month, we send them a book. This book comes in a clear plastic wrapper so you can see the cover art. That's super important. Then on the back side, there's a little piece of paper that we stuck in the envelope, and it says this: congratulations, you've been randomly selected to receive a promotional copy of this book. You did nothing to receive it, and you need to do nothing in response to it. We simply hope that you'll read it, enjoy it, and pass it on. We're a publishing company. We're doing a book promotion in Lewiston. Woohoo! Free books, right? To the reader. Okay, so the first month, we mail a book. Now, there's this street full of houses. Book goes to this house, another book goes to this house, another book goes to this house, another book goes to this house, 200 of them. That's a lot of homes, right? Then, the second month, we send them a postcard. So you go out to your mailbox, and you pick up this book out of the mailbox, and you go, wow, cool, free book, this looks kind of cool. And then you look down, and you see this $14.95 price tag. That means you're not going to throw it away. You know what we did at my home church? We gave away 2,200 copies of these things at the MAC station. That's the commuter train that goes from Hillsboro into Portland. We gave away 2,200 copies. That's a lot of books, okay? That's 44 boxes of books, okay? 2,200 copies of these books. Then we went and walked around the train station, and we looked for abandoned copies. We looked in the garbage, we looked on benches, and we did not find one single abandoned copy. That's because these things have intrinsic value, so you do not throw it away. You might not read it right now, but you're not throwing it away. But this is like a time bomb. Just because it didn't go off now doesn't mean it's not going off later. Okay? So it goes on the coffee table. And the guy sits there on the coffee table, and then he gets a postcard in the mail. It says, you've read the book, now meet the people. And he goes, oh, I remember that book. It's sitting on the coffee table. I've been meaning to read that. Now, let me tell you something. This is what I'm going to say to you. You might be skeptical, but it's the truth. At some point in the first 6 weeks, this person will have to go to the bathroom. That's like total science. Okay? They're going to take that book into the bathroom, and they're going to get started on an amazing journey. Guy's going to come out of the bathroom. He's going to say to his wife, honey, I just read about this amazing church, and they're planning a new one right here in Lewiston. Yeah. You know, Cami is a little inconvenient for us, but they're putting one right here in Lewiston. I think we should go check it out sometime. Next month, we send that same house another postcard. So the first month they got a book, second month they got a postcard, third month they get another postcard. On the back of this postcard, there's a map to the church, there's service times, there's website information, every single thing it takes to connect with this church, this brand new church in Lewiston, is right there on the other side of that postcard. He says to his wife, he sees the postcard, and when he looks at the postcard and he sees that hand sticking up out of the water, he thinks to himself, man, I remember that story about John Swearengen. Man, I remember that young couple. The guy drowned and Jesus came and and all the emotion that he experienced, the tears that he wept as he read that book, come right back when he sees that cover art on that postcard. He turns it over and he goes, you know, that's not very far from here. He says to his wife, honey, we really need to go to church sometime. How many of you knew most people don't make a decision the very first time they see a piece of information? It takes multiple points of impact in order for people to make a decision. Okay? Most people actually don't ever make a decision. They think about it, but they don't make a decision. And so he says, honey, we should go to church sometime. Is that a decision? That's not a decision. It's just an idea. Right? So the next month, bam, we send him another postcard. And the guy says to his wife, honey, let's go to church this Sunday. Now, is that a decision? That's a decision, my friends. That's what we're seeking to do, is get them to a decision. So now we have a tool and we have a technique. Does that make sense? You have to have both if you're going to truly be a craftsman. Okay? So in November, what we're going to do is we're going to send, if we had 200 books sponsored this month, 200 books would go out, boom, to homes. Okay? Then in December, 200 new homes are going to get books. And we're going to send 200 postcards to the November homes. Those first homes that got books, they're getting 200 postcards. Then in January, 200 new homes get books. Now we have 600 books on the ground. In 3 months, we got 600 books into 600 different homes in Lewiston. Do you realize we are going for it here, people? Then 400 postcards get sent out. 200 go to the November homes. So this is the second set of postcards up there. And 200 go to the December set of homes. Then in February, 200 new homes get books. Now we're at 800 books on the ground. 600 postcards get sent out. 200 to the November, 200 to December, and 200 to the January homes. In March, 200 new homes get books, and 600 postcards get sent out. 200 go to the December homes, 200 to the January, 200 to the February. And you'll notice that we didn't send them to the November homes because at some point you do become a stalker. Okay, so we got to kind of like lighten up just a little bit. By the end of 24 months, 4,800 homes and 14,400 people will have received 19,200 touches. You guys, this is not theory, it's experience. We are doing this. Columbia, South Carolina, the Vive Church, the pastor has called me twice. And he said, Darren, I need to get you down to Florida because I got a bunch of friends that need to have happen in their churches what's happening in my church. Because I have new people coming to my church every single Sunday because of what we're doing at the Vive Church. Fairfield, California, friend of yours, Vernon Barker. He's had 7 new families come to his church in just the last few weeks. It takes a little while for it to ramp up, but once that ball gets rolling and those books start to do their job and those postcards come and they gently tap them on the shoulder, hey, you need to think about going to church. Hey, you need to think about going to church. Hey, you need to think about going to church. Hey, you need to think about going to church. Suddenly, people start making decisions and they start showing up. Vernon Barker had a lady called his wife, And they're friends outside of the church. This lady does not attend the church in Fairfield, California. It's a friend of Pastor Kelly's. And she calls up the pastor's wife, and she says, my mom is not a believer. And she got this book in the mail. And she is crazy about this book. And she wants to go to this church. And she goes, I was wondering if you knew what church this was. Well, it's Vernon Barker's wife. She goes, well, that happens to be our church. That lady has come to church, and she's gotten born again. Isn't that cool? You guys, what I'm talking about is not theory, it's experience. It will work. It does work. It is working right now all over the country. We're doing this in Zanesville, Ohio. We're doing this in Pulaski, Virginia. We're doing this. We're saturating Leander, Texas. We're going to reach 50,000 people in Meridian, Idaho in the next 24 months down there. This is going on all over the nation. We're saturating Wasilla, Alaska. Every single home in Wasilla, Alaska is going to get a book in the next 24 months. That's about 90,000 people in the borough there. We're putting them all over the country. We're saturating Fairbanks, Alaska. 400 books a month are going into Fairbanks, Alaska. And people are getting saved, coming to Christ and going to church. This isn't theory, it's experience. So as a sponsor, each month, so the way this works is individuals out here would need to just jump in and do something. Now, I don't know which is easier for you to do. Is it easier for you to sponsor 5 books a month, and from 5 books a month, then you reach 15 people with about 60 hours, or no, it's actually more like 75 hours of personal evangelism, or is it easier for you to go and talk to them yourself? I think it's easier to let the book do the job. Have anybody noticed that God likes books? There's this thing called the Bible. And you know, a lot of work gets done every morning when you open it. So here's what you get every month when you sponsor a book, okay? Whoa. Each month, we send you a map, okay? You're going to love this part. This is the secret sauce, okay? So this is a Google map right here. So you get an email. There's a link to this Google map. And then every month, we upload all the addresses for the books where we ship them so that you can see exactly where the books were delivered. If you take your mouse and mouse over that pin, you want to know what? You see the address of the home. This is kind of cool. First month, that's just 200 books. If you zoom in, they spread out and you can see a lot better. You can see they're stacked up there. We're reaching a city here, right? And then next month. And then next month. And then next month. And then next month. And we are covering a city with the gospel. And every single one of them is getting a book and then 3 postcard follow-up, okay? So that then what you can do, if you zoom in, you can see what the map looks like up close. And I see myself parking my car sometime when I'm in Lewiston. And I get out and I say, you know what? I'm going to go pray over those homes. We have put the seed of the gospel in there. And I'm going to walk down the streets of that city. I'm going to start praying, oh God, oh Jesus, I ask that you'd open the eyes of the unbelievers so that they would see the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm asking Jesus that they could come to know peace and love and hope and joy and forgiveness of every sin they've ever committed. You guys, what would happen if we actually started praying over that map, whether you can go there or not? I'm telling you something, when you add prayer to this equation, it goes ballistic. Ed Silvoso took a phone book in Argentina and he pulled out 1,000 names, called them all up and said, hey, I was wondering if there's something I could pray for you about. About 30% of the people responded positively. Then he took another 1,000 names and he prayed over those 1,000 names for a month. Then he called all those 1,000 people. 70% of the people responded positively. What is going to happen when we start praying over the testimony of the saints that the Bible says overcomes the accuser of the brethren? And we start praying the effectual, fervent prayer of people in right standing with God. It availeth much. That's what the Word of God says. Okay, sorry, I get kind of amped up about this. So I just think it's a miracle, you guys. Do you realize that right now I am preaching to 15,000 people? Right now. I'm preaching to 15,000 people in Lewiston, Idaho. Because that's what's going to happen. We're going to turn the switch on this engine and it's going to start running. And lives are going to be changed. And we don't even know what's happening. Just people are sitting there in their own bedroom crying and saying, oh God, could you save me too, please? Here's what you get every month, a book sent out to the city of Lewiston. Now, these, we're going to focus on Lewiston, you guys, because we've kind of done some serious damage to darkness here in Kemia. Not to say there's not more to be done, but we're now ready to move to Lewiston. So every month, we're going to send a book to that city. Now, you get the book mailed. The postage, do you understand? It costs a lot of money to mail a book. The labor. Can you imagine stuffing thousands of those things? That's what we do. You can't believe it. Then a 3-postcard follow-up to every single home. It's got the cover art of the book. It's got, you've read the book, now meet the people on the other side. There's a map to the church. There's website, service times, everything there. And then you get the prayer and progress report. That's what you get every single month. So what's it going to take to reach Lewiston? There are approximately 30,000 people in about 10,000 homes in Lewiston, Idaho. If we were going to reach half of those over the course of, excuse me, that's 24 months, not 12 months, 24 months, that's a typo. It would take 208 books per month, and we could reach half of Lewiston. But I'm here to tell you, we could actually reach all of Lewiston at 400 books a month. We could reach every single home inside of 24 months if we sponsored 400 books today. Now, how do you do that? Well, there's this little card sitting all over the sanctuary. You can see it there, and it's really simple. You just fill out your name right there, put your email right there. That's how you get the prayer and progress report, the email map of the city of Lewiston, where the books are going. Give us your phone number in case we cannot read your handwriting. And then make sure you sign and date the card. Please sign and date. Every single person who does this needs to sign and date the card. Okay? And then I would encourage you, think about sponsoring 5 to 10 books a month. That's only $41 a month for 5 books, $75 a month for 10 books. Now, I understand that might be tough for some families. Some people would not even notice $75 a month. $41 a month, most families would not even notice $41 a month coming out. And you would be reaching 15 people every single month because each book gets read on average 3 times in the first year, okay? So I would really encourage you, think about those numbers right there, okay? And then you can use a paper check if you like, or you can use credit card or debit card. Just fill out the check just like you would a normal check. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take that paper check and we're going to convert it into an electronic check, okay? Now, let me make this perfectly clear. You are not going into debt. Debt is when you get something and then you owe for it. Isn't that right? You buy a car, then you got to pay it off. That's what debt is, right? In this case, you pay for it, and then we send out the book. So you are never, ever for 1 second going into debt. I do not encourage anybody to go into debt. But I do encourage people to go into evangelism. Yeah. And every month, we should be doing something to reach the lost. This should be part of our life. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And this is a pretty simple way of doing it. Write void on the check. We'll take your electronic check, turn it into take your paper check and turn it into an electronic check. And then it'll run every month. And as soon as you shoot us an email and say, hey, I need to cancel my sponsorship, boom, it's over. Okay, you can cancel it anytime. So only fill out below this line if you're paying by credit card or debit card. This is the address where your credit card bill arrives. This is the security card. On MasterCard and Visa, it's on the back. On American Express, it's on the front. Make sure you sign and date your card, whether you're using credit card or a paper check. And then make sure you tell us what day of the month you would like your funds taken out. That goes up right there. If you get paid on the 15th, you probably want them coming out on the 16th, something like that. And then select direct mail. And again, sign and date your card. So now here's something. I want you to see this. You can cancel at any time. Would everybody say that with me? You can cancel at any time. Everybody say that for reals. You can cancel at any time, okay? All you have to do is give us a phone call, send us an email, or you can go to testimonybooks.com, click on Contact Us. It's super simple. We respond. You'll have email confirmation, usually within 12 hours unless it's the weekend, okay? Do not take your card home. Please, please, please don't take your card home. But rather, if you take your card and turn it in today, I'm going to be out in the lobby, and I got a table out there, and you probably saw it's a book table full of these books. Now, this book is an amazing book. It's about the ministry of Steve Gamir and Partners Relief and Development. And what they've been doing is the Burmese army has been going up into the hill tribes, burning down villages, murdering the men, raping the women, and these people are running off into the woods trying to save their lives. Steve Gamir's ministry goes up, finds those people, builds them a new village, gets a roof over their head, starts schools, and preaches the gospel to them. It's one of the most relevant ministries in the world. In fact, it is the only ministry that I am personally on the board of. I get asked to be on boards of lots of different ministries. This is the only ministry I'm on the board of. I highly recommend you read this book. You will love it, and you get a free copy today if you turn in your sponsorship today. So what is Jesus calling you to do? Pastor, I'd like you to talk to your people about your vision.
Amen. I tell you what, folks, I love what we're doing in Kamei. I love how the gospel is impacting us here. I love how your families are being impacted and your friends and your neighbors. But we felt like God asked us to take this to Lewiston. We're doing a multi-site in Lewiston. And I don't know all the details of what God wants to do there, but I know he wants to save a bunch of people. You also know, if you know me a little bit, one of my passions is raising up young leaders. And being with Nathan and Kristen there and raising them up and the team that we have there is just so exciting for me. We're reaching some families there already, and watching them grow, watching them get healed, watching them rise up is so exciting. You say, well, what does that have to do with us? I know there's a lot more to do in Kamiai and Kuski and our area, right? Is there a lot more to do? We got to build a Y project out here, finish this building add-on. We've got hundreds more people we're trying to witness to and get to receive Christ. But here's what I know. We reap what we sow. And God always asks us to go out beyond ourselves and sow. He always asks us to care about things that doesn't necessarily impact us. You know, when we were building this building, we gave thousands of dollars to drill wells in Africa. We were trying to drill a well on this property. And so, God, how can we get your favor? And he says, why don't you help me drill a well somewhere else? And then I will bless what you're doing here that much more, that much faster. And I think what we're doing in Lewiston is one of those things. We're not slowing anything down here. We're going to just keep ramping up what we're doing here. But this gives us a chance to really impact. How many of you know anybody in Lewiston? Yeah, me too. We're going to get a chance to do the big nine here pretty quick. We'll be breaking that out probably next week and talking about how we can partner even more in this ministry in Lewiston. But I know this, when this church loves people in Lewiston, Idaho, and sponsors 200, 400 books a month, and we watch God radically save these people, and we help God raise up brand new leaders. The college in Lewiston is full of young people, young adults, and to send them out into the world full of Jesus, trained in his kingdom, is one of our passions too, and that's one of the things we're going to be doing. So we just encourage you, help us out. Make sure that right now you're filling out that card. You're going to give that to Darren. And do your best. I just encourage you, take a step of faith. God doesn't usually ask me to do what's easy. I don't know about you guys, but he doesn't usually ask me just to do something that's easy. He asks me to use my faith and stretch my faith. And so I'm going to, Kari doesn't know this, but we're going to be sponsoring a larger number than we have money for, just because God's asking me to use my faith. I'm already driving to Lewiston. Now, I was looking at, what is, was it 10 books a month is 75 bucks? That's like a tank of gas. I know it's sad that it's a tank of gas, but it is like a tank of gas in your pickup, you know. In your car, it's maybe two tanks of gas. It's like if you take a family to a restaurant with you, you're going to eat up that 75 bucks really quick, right? I mean, it's not a lot of money. And you say, well, it's a lot of money to me. I know it is a lot of money to you, but God promises us that when you give, I will give back to you, I will bless you, and I will take really good care of you. He promises that. One thing I always think about when I'm reaching lost people is these are Jesus' kids. They're his sons and daughters, and he loves them. How grateful would you be if someone helped you rescue your son or daughter? How grateful would you be? And how grateful do you think God is when you and I care about other people that are his sons and daughters? And I know we do. That's who we are. And I just thank you for that. So fill out your cards, be generous, use your faith, and let's celebrate together what God's going to do in Lewiston, Idaho. And it's going to spill back up the river to us. Don't worry about that. It's going to spill back over into your businesses. Some of you could do 100 books a month, maybe. You just say, I'm going to do that. Or say, I want to just donate $5,000 to this. And I mean, some of you are going, $5,000, if I had that, I'd go buy a four-wheeler, you know. Yeah, I know. I got a few things on my list, too. But doing some things for eternity is really special. It's really special. And this is a great opportunity. Don't you love what Darren presented to us? He's just a little passionate, too. Just a little bit. Love that. So fill out those cards and get ready for that. Hey, our ushers are going to come. We're going to receive our offering for the church. And this is just if you brought tithes and offerings that you wanted to donate towards the church today, and we wanted to give you an opportunity to do that. There's connect cards in your folders. Fill those out. Make sure you fill those out and check some of those boxes. We're willing to do water baptism. If anybody needs water baptized, we'll schedule that. Meet the Pastors is next Sunday. It's going to be right here. And if you're not signed up for it, go to the link today on your way out and sign up for Meet the Pastors. If you're brand new here today or you've never been to the link, we encourage you to go through the link. There's free candy in there. And there's some also great stuff in there that you're going to love and some information. And so we encourage you to do that. Oh, if you've been personally impacted by the Sink or Swim book, Darren would like to talk to you about that. If you would tell him before you leave today, have you been personally impacted by that book? Father, thank you today for what you're doing. Lord, I just thank you that today we're going to make a decision about books we're sponsoring. Lord, I know a lot of times we're afraid to make a decision. But I pray today, right now, we would just take that step of faith and make that decision. And you will honor that, God. You'll provide and you'll bless. Lord, I pray each one of us right now will make a decision on how many books. We're going to fill out that card and we're going to hand it to Darren on our way out. And Lord, I just want to thank you for all the people that give and all the people that obey you with their tithing and with their other giving. God, thank you for that. And thank you for the promises. Thank you that when you bless our finances, they're so much better than if we're just trying to do it on our own. God, use our gifts, use our money, use our life to bless your world, to bless your sons and daughters. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.